even back then, and George is going to talk about some of the those earlier cases, especially with their fact scenarios, because the facts are very, very, very important when you're talking about raising a due process claim when you're complaining about a video hearing. But I want to tell you that even in these times, dealing with the increased use of remote detention, the increased use of video conferencing dockets, we've all seen the judges that were stationed in Falls Church that all they did was video hearings throughout the country. We've seen now the creation of these adjudication centers, which aren't really courthouses, but they're just buildings that have a bunch of office rooms for judges to hear cases via VTC. So we have this promulgation of the use of video teleconferencing hearings all over the country. It's really important to note that even in these times, as it's becoming more prevalently used, we have to remind ourselves that there are still due process guarantees within the hearings. You still have to have a full and fair removal hearing. It's got to be full and fair under the Act, which means it means to be able to comport with fundamental fairness, and it can't violate the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment. There's a couple of recent cases that are on your first slide here. This year, in fact, I mean, to the extent that I don't have a lot of faith in what the Fifth Circuit does on immigration cases these days, at least at a bare minimum, as recently as this year, they've made the recommendation or the realization, at least, that due process still is alive and well in immigration cases. In Santos Alvarado v. Barr, they basically reaffirmed the idea and the concept that you do have a right to a full and fair hearing. Now, interestingly enough, and this has been the standard for a number of years, but it was reaffirmed in 2018. In order to be able to make out a due process claim in an immigration case, you do have to be able to show substantial prejudice. Now, I'm still waiting. I'm waiting. And George, I'm not going to hold my breath on this, but I'm waiting for the Fifth Circuit to actually decide a case where they found substantial prejudice. I haven't seen one yet, but we're still going to, you know, keep our eyes out for that. But the standard is substantial prejudice, and in the end, it becomes the alien's burden to be able to prove that there was substantial prejudice in the conduct of the hearing to be able to prevail on any due process claim. So you need to also be able to set out in any claim that you make for a violation of due process that there was some violation of a regulation or the code. So it has to be an actual rule, has to be an actual law or regulation. Yes, it's uncomfortable to do VTC hearings. Yes, it is certainly not the best of all worlds. And George came up with a very long laundry list of cons to VTC hearings, which we will go through very carefully in the next slides. But the important thing to remember is always in the back of your mind when you are getting ready to do any hearing, not just these VTC hearings, but especially VTC hearings, because making the record is so important, is that you do have a right to have a fundamentally fair hearing that comports with due process. If you're going to complain about it, you have to show prejudice and you have to show that there was some violation of a law or regulation so that you can make out a claim. All right. So, George, let's talk about some of the facts. How do we think about these due process claims, and what is it that we would have to show?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, Jody, because I think that what happens a lot of times in some of these earlier cases, especially, they're concentrating on attacking the process, VTC as being, you know, a due process violation. But as you look at some of these cases, it really comes down to what actually happened in your hearing that might have prevented you from having a full and fair a hearing before the judge. So Vilches, I love this one because he came close, you know, basically he was arguing, judge, I was so nervous being on video that, you know, I couldn't come across as being credible, which is a great argument. Except for the fact that the judge never made a negative credibility finding, so it sounded like they had a good argument there, but for the fact that that's not what the judge held, right? You know, I think that also, you know, the argument that's been made has been, which is, I think, is a great argument, and I think it really has a lot of merit, is your inability to confer with your client, especially today, because most hearings, again, are taking place over the phone, especially when you're talking about a bond hearing or you're talking about a master calendar hearing. Even merits cases are being done by phone. I would say, and I don't know how you feel about this, Jody, we didn't really discuss this. I will not try a case by phone. I think it's impossible to do that. I have done plenty of bond cases by phone. I've done a master calendar hearing where, you know, there's no challenge to the NTA and there's no documentation that I need to provide and things like that. And we're going to, as Jody had mentioned, we're going to go through the pros and cons.